Welcome to The Laneway,
where we delve into all things health, fitness, lifestyle, and sustainable fat loss.
But coming at you with an unbiased, educational, and hopefully entertaining approach.
Welcome to Season 2, Episode 28 of the world's number one health and fitness podcast, as judged by Peanut the Frenchie. We immediately open this episode telling you what we are doing this year. No tricks, no tactics, no holding back. We also teach you some new lingo, chat. Getting into the questions. Question one, how can I keep consistent with my workouts? Even if you've heard us talk about this before, we have some new tips here, stuff that we've never really spoken about before, both tangible things you can immediately do today and human behavior things as well that can really help with the mindset piece. Question number two, signs to stop reverse dieting and start cutting. Question number three, how to grow muscle without lifting weights. Question number four, I can lose weight, but I never keep it off. What am I doing wrong? And question five, what is your current supplement stack? Let's start immediately with what we are going to be doing.
Yeah, we said that we would discuss it last week, and no joke, I got a message.
No cap.
No cap chat. My goodness, we've got words to talk about today, guys. We said that we'd speak about it last week, obviously, and then I got a message that was like, I listened to the podcast and I didn't find out what you were doing, and crying face. And I was like, sorry, for starters. We just ran out of time. We just jibber-jabbered for so long last week.
Yeah. Why are you looking at me when you say that?
Because you love a chat, right? And it ended up being 3 hours long.
Love a chat. I'll set the scene and then you can drop the hammer.
All right, hammer time.
So coming into Christmas, just before Christmas, we had booked 3 months on the Gold Coast in our caravan. And during those 3 months, we're going to decide what this year held for us. So we're here for all of December, all of Jan, all of Feb. If you're listening now, you'll know that obviously it's a little bit past Feb, but I'll catch you up in a minute. So, what was that?
Sorry about that, guys. It was my phone. It was on Do Not Disturb.
We had a few things that we felt like we might enjoy doing, but we couldn't decide. We just didn't know exactly what was the right call for us, did we?
No, we said that all along. We were like, we just don't know what we want to do.
Yeah, it wouldn't land.
It hadn't landed. So we just weren't sure.
The options, there's still a few options, and as per usual, be completely transparent. One of the options was to buy a factory unit, set up a trendy AF gym in there, not for participants or what's it called? Not for GPs.
GP.
Just for us to create content. We have been really enjoying creating content in terms of your reels and all that sort of stuff, and a space to have a technique for the new app that's coming. And, we're sort of tossing up, could we have a gym downstairs and we'd live upstairs and something like that, or live in the caravan? I don't know. So that was an option. Overseas, Bali was a very serious contender.
Yeah, like, when we're in Bali, we were like, oh, let's do this.
We looked into all the ins and outs of how to live full-time in Bali. So how to buy a property there, or, you know, all the options, where we would be. And so that was a serious contender. And then, look, probably a less likely option was to do another lap in our caravan, or like spend another year in our caravan. We definitely were not sick of it. We definitely were not sick of each other. We were definitely not sick of the tight spaces. Some of my favorite things in that caravan were tight spaces. But we just were not sure if we were still in love with traveling full time.
Yeah.
So I think, was there any other things that we had considered?
No, not really. A couple of people did say, like, are you guys going to Europe? I reckon it's Europe. But to be honest, most people assumed that we were going to Bali, and it was definitely like the first thing that we thought of. But we also thought, let's just get back to Burley, settle for 3 months like we had planned, and know that it will come.
Let it come to us, yeah.
And we were here for 2.5 weeks.
I keep saying 3 weeks, so there you go, 2.5. Is that all it was?
2.5 weeks, yeah.
And so don't keep in mind, we got back with zero idea and 3 months up our sleeve to decide. Mm. And it took 2 weeks. See, I just shaved a bit of mayo off.
You shaved a week off. Just straight away.
And it just it landed with both of us at exactly the same time, and we were like, yep, this is what we do. Funnily enough, the only thing that wasn't on the option list was to be normal people again.
Yeah, we didn't want to.
Like, I don't think we really had on the option list to like, all right, let's go back to living in a house or a unit or, you know, live a normal life. A part of the reason for that is we have spoken a lot about having Casey back into a normal high school next year. So this year is in year six, next year is year seven, will be his first year of high school. And for the social aspect of school, we both, well, no, more so me, I felt like it would be advantageous to him to be in a traditional school. So that meant that this year, 2024, is the final year that we kind of felt like we had that flexibility to be able to do something outside of the norm.
And that was probably a big reason why we're like, we're not ready to be normal people yet. And we kept joking about it and being like, I feel like we were going to be gypsies forever. It is like once you, it's such a crazy feeling. Once you sell and get rid of all of your belongings and you live a very minimalistic lifestyle, there's not a lot that draws you back to wanting to have all that again. Like it almost feels like it would feel harder to transition back to a home normal lifestyle. And I'm like, there's no flexibility in that. Like there's no freedom in that. I'm like, what if I get sick of the house that we're in? What if I, like, you know, like when we're traveling in a caravan, if you don't like where you are, you just like literally hook up and leave and you go to the next spot that's like better. You can't do that when you commit to living in a house. And I'm like, it felt so restrictive.
Mm.
And so I think at that point I was like, well, that's off the cards because I'm not ready to commit, you know?
It is super weird how fast you change.
Yeah.
Like I've never had in me that I want to be a minimalist or that I don't want to have stuff or I don't want to live in a house. It was never ever something that I was like, oh, yeah, that was always a dream of mine.
Mm.
But as you said, once all the stuff was gone, I feel like I was happier than ever.
We were and still are. To be honest, like even going to friends' houses or we're staying at my mum's house right now or we house sit for friends, I don't know, a month ago and we were in the house for 4 days and they have got this stunning house with absolutely everything that opens and shuts and I'm like, do they use all of this shit? I like was, you know, like you almost get so frustrated looking at other people's stuff because they've got 7 pairs of tongs. And I'm like, is a tong a pair? Do you say that? Is it a pair of tongs?
I would say it's a pair of tongs.
You're like, do you need...
You're talking about like the footwear?
No, not tongs. Like the crab claw things that you pick up food crab with. Claw. You know, like how else would you describe it? A pair of tongs?
Yeah.
Come on, how would you describe it?
Like thongs or flip-flops?
No, not like I don't have a speech impediment. Anyway.
I thought you were from Ireland.
Ireland? No, I'm not actually. But you're like, why do you need 7 pairs of tongs for? You know, like, and then you're like, well, what if I need to them? I can assure you that you don't need seven pairs of tongs.
In our van, we had 2 pair.
Yeah.
One for the inside kitchen, one for the outside.
Yeah. And that's all you need. You don't need – do you know how many plates we had? We had 4 because you can't buy a 3-pack.
Yeah.
You have to buy 4. But do you know how many forks and knives we had? 4 because you couldn't buy – well, to be honest.
At start, we had 4.
We did lose.
Ask me how – I don't know how you lose cutlery.
Well, because sometimes we'd eat in the car.
We?
Me. Case. And I would eat in the car sometimes and, you know, like a stray fork. But that's probably a good thing.
The guy, because whoever buys the Chevy next will be like getting it detailed and pull a fork out from it. And they'll be like, what the fuck is a fork doing in here?
So, yeah. So the moral of that story is it's crazy once you actually get rid of everything, how much you realize you don't actually need. Like even when we were kind of like talking about linen cupboards and stuff like that, when we moved into the van, we only had 1 pair of sheets, 1 set, not a pair, set of sheets for each bed. right? Like you wash them, you put them back on. Mm. When we lived in a house, we had three for every bed.
Of course.
Well, you know.
Why wouldn't you?
You know, you need more than one. No, you don't. You
two
don't
would
need.
Be good in a house.
Two is.
So you can swap, you know, just take them off, put the next one on.
Yeah, I know. It's like.
Maybe three in case you haven't washed in a while.
Who does
Make
that?
Make it four.
No one does
Everyone
that.
Everyone does that.
No, they don't. Anyway,
so,
yeah.
So what we have decided to do. Oh, this thing hasn't got a drum roll on it, does it?
It does.
Are you sure?
I'm sure I heard the boom.
Chime, rim shot. What's a rim job? Megaphone, sensor, ducking.
It's got a boom, boom.
Does it?
Can you just make the sound so we can stop? Like,
oh. Whoa.
That sounds like
no,
DJ.
That's not it.
Who's that? DJ.
DJ Pemfer Bang.
That's it. DJ Pemfer Bang.
All right. So.
So, actually, you guys know that we sold a caravan.
Yes.
We sold it back in December, I think. Mm-hmm. No, we sold it on Australia Day. They picked it up on Australia Day. So, that was done and dusted.
Yes. And the reason that we sold our van is because?
We're getting a new one. Yeah.
When we – and what are we going to be doing?
What are
traveling
you?
Again.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to be traveling again. Probably not like – it's just going to be super sporadic. We're not going to go, all right, we're doing a lap. I think you just refer to it as a lap when you're a caravaner. You're like, yeah, are you doing a lap? Yeah, I'm doing a lap. Not really. We're not actually doing a lap that starts and finishes in one location. We're heading straight over to Ningaloo Coast in WA.
So if you have followed Ash and I when we did our lap, north of Perth – the water turns so clear. It's like if you buy a bottle of water from the shop, that's how clear the water is on the Ningaloo Reef or Ningaloo Coast.
Yeah.
It's like the opposite of the Great Barrier. So the Great Barrier Reef's on the east coast. The Ningaloo Reef is on the west coast. And it's literally crystal clear water. It is in-fucking-credible. And so we're spending 9 days driving straight there.
Yeah, so
and then we're going to spend roughly 3 months in and around that area just getting jacked and tanned.
Working, tanning, working some more, eating, leisureling.
Do you want to
so good.
Fill in any more?
Oh.
We'll do some washing probably.
Oh, yeah, we'll do some washing.
Boil the piss out of people. we'll spend about 3 months there. We haven't decided what happens after that, but it will be in the caravan. We will spend the remainder of this year in the caravan. The caravan, new van, is due in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, look.
You're trying to put your juju woo-woo out there.
I just, you know, it's funny. Brad's like, you get that from your father. Like, my father is known to be really, like, unrealistic in his expectations, and he just believes them wholeheartedly, you know. And I'm like, I wonder if today's going to be the day that we get the phone call for our caravan. And Brad's like, you know what, babe? It's actually not due for another month.
So here's the example. I fucking love this. They send the invoice for the caravan, and they see it needs to be paid by, did you say?
4th of April.
The 4th of April. They go, this is the date you need to pay by your caravan by. And Ash tells me that part. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I was talking to someone, and I was like, oh, what did you say the date is, honey? And you're like, look, I think we're going to get it on the 4th of April because that's when the invoice is dated, the 4th of April. And I'm like, actually, that makes a lot of sense. She said, look, they did write that this date in no way indicates your delivery date. Please do not use this as an expectation of your delivery date. Please contact your salesperson or stick with your estimated delivery date. And I'm like,
it says it in like caps lock, bold, can't miss it.
And what did you choose to do?
Ignore it.
Ignore
but
it.
The difference is most people have an unrealistic expectation and then get sad when it doesn't happen. I'm not sad about it. It's like getting sad that you didn't lose weight in your reverse diet. There was no expectation to say that that's what will happen. The expectation in your reverse diet is that you will maintain your weight, okay? Now, I'm not sad that a caravan's not here 3 weeks, 4 weeks early because they said that it's due by the second week of April, okay, at the latest. They said first or second week. However, I'm jujuing. I wonder if today's the day we're going to get the call to pick up our caravan and it's like a month early. Hey, it could happen.
Every time that phone rings.
I'm like, is that? Is that the caravan shop?
Is that the caravan shop? So the caravan's not bigger. Everyone keeps asking that question, and I can imagine that that's a pretty logical question to ask. Yeah. It's not necessarily bigger. It is better. It's the van we wanted to start with. We couldn't get this van. There was a 12 to 18 month wait on this particular van, which meant we'd probably be getting it now.
Yeah.
And have not travelled for the last 18 months.
Yeah.
So instead we
we decided so that we could go when we wanted to go, we decided to build the van that we had. And then
correct.
And
yes.
Then and still it's, you know what the crazy thing was? Our last built van was delayed and we picked it up from Melbourne, if you guys have been following for that time, on our little convoy to Melbourne, on our single man convoy. We actually stopped at this caravan shop. We hadn't even picked up our new one and we had stopped at this caravan shop to see the van, that our dream van that we had wanted in flesh. We hadn't actually seen one in the flesh and we loved it. And he was like, do you want to place an order now? And we're like, no, because like we're just about to pick up our new van and, you know, we didn't know what was to come. Anyway, it has been on our radar. There was nothing wrong with our old van. In fact, our old van, we did so much research. I feel like we really nailed getting what we wanted in that van and it served its purpose and it was perfect. There was nothing wrong with it. However, this was the van that we had wanted from day dot.
Yeah. So we got a little bit. Or it can spend a bit more time off-grid, so a bit more power, a bit more water, and then just a few more things. You know, you change things from your first van that you realise, oh, this works for us, that works for us. So a few changes, and then just a little bit nicer on the inside. But really, we can – oh, and there's a couple sick additions. There is a couple fucking sick additions that we got to put on this van.
Yes. Yeah, we do.
Should we – or should we?
I reckon that can wait. Like we've got a couple of things that we didn't have in our last like Ningaloo adventure.
So there's one thing on this van that our van is the second in the country to have.
Yeah.
The first van that had this particular thing is the owner. So the person that owns this caravan company, he has this on his caravan.
Yeah.
No other caravans, and I saw it and I was like, we have to have that. And no other caravans have been fitted with it yet. Ours is going to be the first, so I'll let you know what that is. And then as my lovely wife said, there was one thing missing from our last trip and we've added that as well. And that's, I'm not going to go as far as to say change the trip, but it's going to change the trip.
Yes, particularly for where we're going. So,
and we have a few additions.
Oh, yeah.
This is actually pretty big news.
Big news.
Big news. Ash's mum and husband Dino are coming with us for the trip to the Ningaloo.
Yeah. See, the audience went wild.
We have convinced them to take 3 months off work.
Yeah.
They already had a camper trailer and a four-wheel drive and pretty much most of the stuff really to do the trip already. It's only the bric-a-brac stuff that you're like, oh, we're going to have to actually get, you know, an extra water tank or something like that.
Yeah.
Most of the stuff they already had and evidently the place that they're in, they were due to be out the day before we're due to leave.
Yeah.
So that everything sort of fell into place. They are pumped. And then one of my best mates just coincidentally – they're going to be coming as well. So he was a groomsman at my first wedding.
Well, you got married twice though.
So I know. Does that still count?
Yeah.
As my first wedding?
Yeah.
Our first wedding?
Yeah, my first wedding.
So at our first wedding, he was one of my groomsmen. Obviously, we're still good friends. And they're also taking 3 or 4 months off work. And they're going to come with us to the Ningaloo as well. So himself, his wife, and then they have a couple of kids.
Yeah, which will be really cool. And then obviously, like, they might have to go back to normal life because they have got, like, could you say it, bricks and mortar kind of job?
Yeah, he's a cabinet maker. He has a cabinet making business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, my mum is a sales rep and her husband is a truck driver, so you can't realistically do that from a laptop.
We never know. Like, we left on our lap expecting to find multiple places that we would want to live.
Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And this could be that for these other people.
Yeah, it could be.
Your mum and Dino might get to Exmouth and be like, you know what? This is us. You know, your mum has had successful businesses in the past. She might get there and be like, you know what this place needs? It's one of those. You never know.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of opportunity over there for Dino as well. So you just never know what the future holds for those people.
You do. You definitely never know. So, yeah, so that's it. That's what we're doing.
That's the big surprise.
We've had some – was it yesterday? Or was it today? Yesterday.
Which one?
The Casey's new words.
Bro, there's new words. All right. We're going to do you guys a solid, right? Because we have to find out the hard way through embarrassment of asking our 11-year-old what words mean. However, we're going to arm you guys with the tools to be trendy for either your kids or grandkids and know their lingo. This is hot off the press lingo. This is like extremely current.
Yeah, we're like in it right now.
This is so current. It's from this is future lingo that some kids don't even know yet.
Yeah.
So
Case came home like yesterday, and what did he say?
The first one was he said something, and he's like lamau. I'm like, what the? What did you just say?
Isn't it lamao?
Lamao, lamau.
I don't know.
Something. All right. Well, we're not going to completely arm you with all the tools.
It was lamao.
It could be. All right. It's lamao, and I'm like, is that like French mayonnaise? Like. You know, like le snack, le mayo. And he's like, oh, my God, you're such a boomer. And I'm like, number one, yeah, you're probably right.
We're not boomers.
But number two, I'm like, what is a fucking le mayo? He goes, you know, LMAO.
Yeah, that's like, it was le mayo.
I was like, all right, Dick. I said, number one, do you know actually what LMAO stands for? And he's like, yeah, laughing my... Oh, hang on. Wait, ready? Laughing my off. And I was like, number two, what's it called? Not an abbreviation. What's it called? When it's letters instead of I said it today.
Why did I think I just went hypochondriac?
It's not a hyphenation.
No,
it's not a hyphenation. It's like a breve. It's like a word, isn't it?
Like TWA is a something of train with Ash. Yeah. Oh.
There's people in the car headbutting their steering
wheel. They're yelling at us.
I don't know. I forget what it's called.
We need to ask Cheryl.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll come back to that.
Yeah.
It's a letter thing.
It's a letter. I'm like, you don't say letter things. And he's like, oh, my God. And he just put his palm up to his forehead and walked away. But then you reminded me today, actually, even we've said letter things. Like
we've said lol.
Right?
Yeah. And I love reading emojis.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, you're like blah, blah, replied.
Eggplant, water splash.
Taco. No, I'm like sideways laughing face palm, you know, like I'll always read the whole sentence, you know, like I'm reading the emojis as well. Anyway, so it's similar to that. I was like, you know what, I may not have heard LMAO before, but it's like lol. It's like saying lol. So that's the first one, just in case you guys need to know that. The other one, he came home yesterday and said something, something, blood.
Abbreviation?
Abbreviation? No, it's not an abbreviation. He said something, something, blood. He actually said it to you.
Yeah.
What did he say?
I can't remember what he said, but he's like something, something, blood.
Like, what's up, blood?
Like that, yeah. And I'm like...
You're like, did you just say blood?
And he's like, I'm like... Brud, like brudder, or blood. And I had to get him to spell it. And he's like, B-L-U-D. I'm like, okay, so we're not even spelling it correctly. Awesome.
Wow.
I'm over the moon with what school's doing since you've been back for one term. But what is blood? And, of course, he's like, oh, my God, boomer. It's the new word for bro.
Well, you had to Google it.
I had to Google it. That's, yeah. It's the new word for bro.
Basically, bro.
Yeah.
It's like the new. It actually didn't. It used to be a swear word, I think, and then it like transitioned, like another language swear word, and then it transitioned into a bro. Like it's basically in our translation, it's bro. So get prepared because all the mums out there that have got boys that have been called bruh for the last 12 months, because that's, don't worry, we're a bro household. You guys would know, and I don't mind. I'm not. Oh, but blood. Seriously?
Blood? Well, I thought it was like like a gang? Isn't that gangs in America? Like
someone said that a blood something,
a Crip or and a blood yeah. are like two.
The Bloods and Crips.
The Bloods and Crips.
Is that how you say it?
That's that how you, yeah. What are you looking at me for? Well, I'm not a gang member.
And then the new one today. This was hot off the press from another mum to another mum, and I thank her so much for this because I haven't heard it yet.
But
we're going to use it.
We're going to use it. We're going to what we're giving you. Got given to us today. So this we're going to use this when he gets home.
Yeah, this afternoon. I might even try and sneaky record and see, film his reaction.
Yeah.
It's chat, as in not Chad, chat, like as in I'm chatting to Brad right now. It's chat.
What's up, chat?
Yeah, and it's like, bro, but we call it chat.
But I think I know where this one's come from because all the young kids, they stream. They do streaming while they play games and all this stuff, right? It's like if you're a streamer, it's like you're a famous person. And in the stream, there's a chat where people can type stuff like, hey, bro, what up, blood, this, that. I think it's
LMAO.
LMAO. And I think it's from the people saying in the to the people in the chat, like, you know, oh, chat, hey. Chat wants me to – what do you reckon, chat? Should I eat this chili? I think it's my guess. What up, chat?
My pick is he's not even going to flinch. He's just going to be like, oh, yeah.
He'll like,
he won't even – it won't even be a shock.
I reckon we'll get a head nod, an eyebrow raise, and a, like, blood.
Yeah, blood. It's crazy because even over the last 12 months, it's been, you know, cranking 90s and all this other stuff. And I was like, these words don't even make sense. And I think it took a turn. And it's another level now. So you guys are in the know.
We were cool. We are no longer cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to get into this, blood?
I do. Chat, let's go.
Let's go, chat. Do you want to ask or do you want to – who wants to go on top? Do you want to
– well, look, you know, it doesn't really matter. Like, let's – how about I go and then
– you want to go first?
Yeah. All right.
For change.
Question number one.
Yeah.
How can I keep consistent with my workouts?
Look, there's no one single answer for this. It's really going to depend on quite a few things. So, but what I want to do is first I'll give you like some tangible shit. We have spoken about – sorry about that. We have spoken about a few of these before, but then I also want to talk about the mental side. If you guys have – anyone that's been maybe in Train with Ash, we talk a bit more about mindset and stuff in there, but every single thing is mental or there's a big part of human behavior and mindset inside of everything. So I don't want to skip that over because that for some people it could be the physical stuff, but maybe for more people it actually could be the mental stuff, you know, behind it. So I would say like from a tangible, what can I do immediately? Number one, this is the first thing that you can do is schedule it in. Schedule it in your calendar, even if you're not a calendar user. If you're a calendar user and, you know, you use a calendar day in, day out, it'll be probably easier and, you know, more normal for you. Put it in your calendar as a normal meeting. It's in there like any other appointment. If you had a hair appointment or a nail appointment, would you just not go because you didn't feel like it?
No.
No. I know that you go get your nails done and I know you don't – you hate getting your nails done,
I
right?
I do.
Because
it's torture.
You can't do any – do they do both at once?
Yeah. Oh, look, not really, but, yeah, in short, it's very difficult to be doing anything. You try and no, nah, they want that hand then.
They – correct, right? So – but do you go –
of course.
Why?
Because I dislike the look of my hands without nails on much more than I dislike the pain of going to get it done.
Okay. So I would look at your gym, your three gym sessions a week, like you would look at any other appointment. If you had a doctor appointment, you would be there. If you had a physio appointment, you'd be there. A nail appointment, a hair appointment. Work, I guess, is effectively an appointment. You would be there. So schedule it in, put it in your calendar and treat it as if it's any other appointment. Now, I'm going to tie that into this next bit. One of my favorite comedians when I was growing up was Jerry Seinfeld. Did you know that?
I didn't know that he was one of your nowadays, yeah, like you love Seinfeld, you're obsessed, but I didn't know that growing up.
Growing up, one of my favorite comedians ever. So I've watched a lot of his stuff, and people obviously ask, you know, how do you come up with these jokes, whatever. And he has this like little thing that he does. He has a routine. So every single day he spends, I can't remember how long it was. All right, so you're going to have to bear with me. I'm going to make this bit up. Let's call it 2 hours. He spends 2 hours writing jokes. It doesn't have to be perfect jokes. It doesn't have to be completed. He just has to sit there and get something on paper. Now, his deal with himself is during that two-hour block, he doesn't have to write jokes if he doesn't want to, but he can't do anything else. So his options are either literally just sit there. You can't be on your phone. You can't be meditating. You can't be doing anything. You just have to sit there. So either just sit there for those 2 hours or write stuff down and like let it flow. Do the same with your training. When you schedule it from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. on a Tuesday, no matter what happens, you don't have to train if you don't want, but you got to go in the gym.
If you don't feel like it or you feel tired.
Correct. Yep. You still got to be there, but you can't do anything else.
Yeah.
You can't go to the gym, get inside, sit on the shitter for 25 minutes with your phone and scroll Facebook, even if you've had pre-workout, you need a pre-workout clean out, and just come out, sit in the corner, use your phone, talk to people. No. If you do it, schedule it, show up at 5, you can't do anything else. You have to just stand in the gym.
Yeah.
And make that deal to yourself. That. Make that deal to yourself, because I guarantee you, you're going to be like, oh, well, I'm here. I might as well do something, you know,
yeah.
Which I feel like is what Jerry Seinfeld would do. He might have plenty of times been 15 minutes into his block doing nothing and being like, what am I doing? I'm here anyway. I might as well just write down some stuff.
Yeah.
And just start.
Sometimes even just on that is when you have that space to truly just think, you're not doing anything else, like maybe you're staring out at the ocean or whatever, or the car's driving past your front driveway, that might be enough to give you enough space to get creative or just be like, you know what, yes, I can go to the gym. Even though I'm tired, yes, I can, you know?
I think totally. Oh, yeah, I think 100%. So there's a couple hacks there. Next one, when you're in that gym for that hour, lower the bar.
Yeah.
Start with your favorite exercise, even if it means doing your program not in the right order. So I'm going to give you an example. My favorite exercise is probably biceps. I'm assuming anyone that's ever seen me ever is aware of that, judging by my amazing biceps. So what are you laughing for, darling?
Oh, I love your biceps, babe.
So what I do, because I'll be honest, I use this hack myself.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll go into the gym and I'm like, the last thing I feel like is training. I go anyway, I show up and I always do my flexibility and mobility first. So I'll finish my flexibility. Most times I feel like training by the time I finish my flexibility. The times I don't, I go, oh, I'll just do biceps and triceps and go. That's all anyone cares about anyway. So I go do biceps, then I do triceps and I go, you know what? I'm here, I might as well just do back. I'll do my back. I'll go, oh, I can't do back and not do chest. I'll do chest. And I'm like, well, I can't be walking around like a rooster. I have to do legs, you know?
No one wants to be a rooster.
And just by starting, you don't know what comes of it. Just like your mum might end up living in Exmouth, running a cafe.
Yeah.
Just start. You don't know what will come with it. Last tangible physical hack is pre-workout.
Oh, I love that.
Take pre-workout. It is so hard not to go to the gym after you've taken pre-workout. You're like, well, I've had it now. What am I going to do? Sit on the couch just doing backflips?
Yeah, like no.
Get yourself a nice pre-workout that you enjoy, one that does the job for you, that really gets you pumped. Take your pre-workout and just that's it. Once you've taken that pre-workout, you got to train.
You have to go.
You can't take pre-workout and then not go to the gym. We've taken pre-workout and then worked out the gym's closed.
Yeah, and went for a run.
Went for a run because you got to do something.
which is very wild for us, just FYI.
Actually, you went for a run yesterday.
I did.
The day before.
The day before, because Case came home and he said, Mum, I have got cross country next week. Can you take me for a run? And I was like, what? Anyway, we went for a run. And I pushed him to the brink, poor little guy.
Blood was dying.
He was like, I feel so sick. I was like, oh, maybe I pushed you a little bit too hard. Sorry, buddy.
Chat wasn't happy.
He ran the whole way though. And I recovered so quickly for somebody who doesn't run. I put this on my stories the other day because we do have quite a few mums, or not even mums, even just women in Train With Ash, that they're scared of stopping running or scared of stopping HIIT because they are concerned that that they will essentially lose their fitness and, you know, become unfit, or are concerned about, you know, they might go on a family hike, or they might want to kick the footy with their kids or chase them around, and they're scared of losing that. I did a 2 kilometer run with Case the other day. That's the length of his thing, his cross country, and we didn't stop. I recovered completely fine, and it was completely fine, and I don't run. I haven't run for years. So don't be scared. Anyway, back on to the consistency part.
Yeah, so they're the tangible things. Look, there's other stuff like put your shoes on, have your workout clothes ready to go, these kinds of things. But I feel like those ones that I just gave, I don't think I've given those before, and I do think that they're quite tangible, and I do think like they're the big rocks. I feel like they'll help more than anything. Sometimes you put your running your gym shoes on. Now you're just on the couch with your gym shoes on sometimes. So whereas those other things, I feel like they get the ball rolling. The mental side of things, this is something to keep in mind. Ash and I got up this morning at 2:30 to go and record some more technique videos for the new app. Neither one of us felt like getting up at 2:30 this morning to go and record technique videos for the app. However, because so many times over the past handful of years we've done things regardless of how we feel, we are now so used to doing things regardless of how we feel, and we look and go, what outcome do we want? Are we prepared to sacrifice what it takes to get there? And then we make a decision based on that. We were not always like that. We have come a long way, even ourselves, in personal growth, having the ability to consciously act regardless of feelings. But the way that we got there is what I'm going to teach you, and what I think might help you in whoever has asked this question, in how you get to go to the gym even when you don't feel like it. Growth happens when it's hard. When things are easy, you feel like training, you enjoy going to the gym, you're looking forward to it, you're not growing that day mentally, you're not moving forwards in your personal growth. However, the first day that comes that you don't feel like doing something, you don't yet have the tools to overcome that. Yet. However, there's only one way to overcome that, and to pick up that tool and have that tool in your toolbox, and it's to just one time do it even though you don't feel like it. That is exactly where the growth happens. So that next time you get that feeling, instead of your brain, which is just a memory card, looking back historically and saying, okay, self, what do I normally do when I don't feel like doing something like the gym? I don't do it. All right, well, it's okay not to do it. Instead, you can physically rewrite, or you can give yourself a new memory. And now your brain goes, I don't feel like doing this. And then it's like, what did we do last time? Well, last time I did it anyway. Oh, okay. Well, that's an option. It is an option to do it anyway. And this is where you grow. I talk about the growth box, or growth on your box, which is the box is closed. On most days, the box is closed. And you can't stick your hand in and pull out growth. You can't become the type of person that's able to lose weight and keep it off forever until the day comes that the box is open. When the box opens on the day you don't feel like doing something, that is your opportunity. When you're, I don't feel 100%, it's a bit rainy, the kids are crying, whatever it is that you don't feel like, I'm not motivated, whatever it is, that's the day that the box opens. The magic box opens, you can put your hand in and you can pull a growth out. And although at the minute you might think to yourself, I'm not the type of person that can do that, that's only because you haven't done it yet. As soon as you pull out one growth, it's immediately easier to get the next one, and that growth box will become open more regularly. And then over time, that memory that you have becomes, instead of looking back and seeing nothing but failure, and looking back and seeing nothing. But every time this comes up, I give up, so I might as well give up this time. Instead, you start to see this giant stack of evidence that you are the type of person that is capable of achieving your goal. No one feels like it at the start. You might even feel like a bit of an imposter at the start, but the only way to overcome that is to consistently do it when you don't feel like it. But don't look at like, oh, this is, I'm going to feel like this. No, you're not. It's one time. You feel like it today. I've scheduled it in my calendar. I've taken my pre-workout. I'm wearing my favorite shoes. I still don't feel like going. One time, just push that barrier. Put your hand in that box, pull out some growth and go to the gym. Even just if you just got to be there, just be there for an hour. If you feel like training when you get there, train. And that's how slowly but surely you create a new track. I remember hearing Ellen talk, and I know it's not her analogy, but it's the first time I actually heard it was from her. If you walk, you know, through a bush, like some bushes, some tall grass, 100 meters of tall grass every day. The first, you know, there's a track there where you've been walking that same track day in, day out. If you want to walk down a different track, the first day it's hard. There's, you know, you're stepping somewhere, maybe no one stepped, it could be cow shit, and you get to the end and you can't really even tell that you've walked through there, and whereas the old track is super clear. It's there. The next day you walk again, the next day. After a month, looks like a bit of a track now, and you can tell that that's where you're supposed to walk. The old track still isn't covered up. The original track is still there and it still wants you to go that way, but you have to choose, do I go left or do I go right over the new track? In your brain, was the new track on the right?
Yeah, my brain, yes.
The new one was on the right?
Yes.
Same here. After a while, you won't even have to think about it. You just walk down that new track and your brain is exactly the same. If you've been walking the same track day in, day out, month in, year out, whatever, of course it's normal for that to be the track that you just subconsciously take and you don't even think about it. But it doesn't take long before you can forge a new trail and that old trail will start to overgrow and become not super distinguishable. Yes, for a while, it's easy to fall back into that track, and that's where I would suggest using some of those tips that I gave to force yourself down that new track.
You know, we ask thousands of people inside the free 5-day challenge community what their biggest struggle is, and I would say 90% of the comments that come back are consistency. Like, it is definitely a struggle of majority people, and a lot of people have got these, oh, I can't do this because of that, or this happened or that happened. We are big people. We make choices, and sometimes things happen during our day-to-day life that, you know, are unexpected, but we still have the choice to make it happen. Everything is mental, the whole lot of it. Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you are correct. I read something the other day that said, easy choices equal a hard life. Hard choices equal an easy life. And I was like, oh my goodness, isn't that the truth? That comes back to your growth box that you were just talking about. You know, like when you have experiences of growth in your life, they always come from moments of hardship. Nothing great comes from being comfortable. Nothing. You think about, you know, going to the gym and training. If you're just training and you just, you know, haven't, you got your phone up to your ear and you're just throwing weights around and you're not paying any attention, it's not really hard. You know, you're not pushing that hard. You're not going to grow any muscle from that, right? Because it's not hard. It's easy. Same thing with the things that you do in your day-to-day life. If you struggle with consistency, make a commitment to yourself to be consistent, regardless of how you feel. Use some of the tools that Brad just gave you. I love the tool of, all right, fair enough, you were too tired, you had a shitty night's sleep, you didn't feel like going to the gym. Awesome. Okay, well, don't go to the gym. Just sit there and don't do anything. Nothing. You can't replace it with anything. I love that because I'm like, you might as well go to the gym if you're not going to do anything else, because I guarantee you, you will find some magic energy to get up and go to the gym.
But you got to be at the gym when you do it.
Yeah. You know what? Either way, like, I think it would work regardless of if you're at the gym or not. I think it's even better if you're at the gym, but I still think that just sitting there, you're not allowed to talk to anyone, you're not allowed to do anything, you're not allowed to sleep, Nothing. You just got to sit there.
If someone comes up to you at the gym, you got to be like,
Can't talk. You know, like I think just being making a commitment to yourself, you would make a commitment to somebody else. You know, like we have a lot of mums in our group. So it's like, oh, I've got to take Hannah to soccer and, you know, Johnny's got to go to cricket. And then we do Thursday night is this bowling night and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, awesome. You do this for everybody else. There's three, you know, sessions a week that you can commit to yourself. How can we get these in there? Make a commitment to yourself. That's all you need to do. And stick to it because you said you would do it. It's my two cents.
Cool. Question number two. What are some signs to stop reverse dieting and start cutting?
So we speak about reverse dieting a lot, and it's crazy how many people still don't really understand what reverse dieting is. If you are somebody that has been dieting for a very, very long period of time, and as a result of that, generally speaking, the amount of calories it takes to maintain your body weight, regardless of, you know, whether you've got still weight to lose or whether you're at your goal, is usually less than when you started actually dieting. A reverse diet helps you essentially eat more, speed up your metabolism, and if done correctly, helps you maintain the weight that you've lost or prepare you for a space that you can then enter a calorie deficit in the future and then be able to lose weight. There's two main reasons or ways to tell if you have, you know, or if there's two main reasons to tell if you need to stop reverse dieting and start a fat loss phase. The main or the very first one would be, I believe, if you are showing signs of body fat gain. And that can be, I guess, through a few different ways. One, scale weight, but to be honest with you, scale weight needs to be used in conjunction with body measurements and photos. Scale weight does not automatically equal fat gain. A lot of people just assume it does, and it's still one of the biggest problems that people suffer with outside of consistency. So having a look at your measurements, more specifically your waist measurement. If your waist measurement continues to climb and it doesn't come back down, and your waist is climbing and it doesn't come back down, then that could be a sign that you have gained body fat and it might be time for you to enter your fat loss phase. I would also take that into consideration with where you are actually at calorie wise. So sometimes I see people that are like, oh my goodness, I have been reverse dieting for a little while. I'm up to 1400 calories. FYI, guys, that's not very much. I'm starting to gain body fat. I'm starting to gain waist measurements. And as a result, I think that it's time to enter a fat loss phase. But then once we look at their data and we look at their weekly wins tracker and whatnot, which is what we use in Train with Ash, we see that sometimes these people are not consistent. They haven't been tracking, they haven't been training, you know, maybe they're not actually eating 1400 calories. So once we have a look and make sure that yes, you are consistent, you are 100% on the ball, and you know, maybe your calories are at 2300 calories, for example, and we start to see that your waist measurement increases and your waist is increasing and not coming back down, hey, it may be time for you to go into a fat loss phase. Another way, and I guess this could fall into two different categories, one being mentally and the other one just obviously being that you've reverse dieted to a point where you've actually got enough room to reduce your calories, still eat quite comfortably and lose the fat that you're after. But I think sometimes this comes into, like, when I say mentally, this kind of genre as well, because sometimes we can see people getting to a point where, hey, they maybe aren't gaining any body fat and maybe their calories are quite high, but it can be mentally draining to find calories to fill your food every day. And sometimes that can be quite hard. And yes, hard leads to growth. And I'm not talking if you have 2 or 3 weeks of it feeling challenging, cool, yep, it's time to tap out. No, like push yourself to the point of like, all right, I mentally can't do another day like this, then hey, it might be time for you to enter a fat loss phase from there. But if you have reverse dieted up and it's like 2,500, 2,600 calories, you've been super consistent, everything's looking perfect, hey, it might be time for you to enter a fat loss phase. If you've got weight to lose at that point, then yeah, awesome. Go into a fat loss phase from there.
If you're in Train With Ash, you can ask in the group anytime too.
Yeah, and we can give you our opinion.
On your individual case.
Yeah, we'll look at your data and obviously help you make a decision that way. I did this with a client the other, a one-on-one client the other day. She was like, she's nearly ready for a fat loss phase and she's actually going to South Africa. Whilst I had in my head what I thought would be the best option for you, for her, and what option I probably would choose, I laid three options out on the table with her. And I said, there's three options, A, B, C. I obviously laid them out for her to give her the tools to make a decision. Then from there, I asked her what she wanted to do. She told me and she said, what would you do? Which was slightly different to her choice, and then it made sense for her at that point. She was like, actually, yeah, that does make sense for her in that situation. But yeah, ask us in the group. That's what we're there for.
It helps so much.
Yeah.
Having someone else's opinion with stuff like that, it just helps so much.
Yeah.
Like anytime I've not wanted to see an expert because I feel like I already know what they're going to say.
Yeah.
And then I've seen one anyway, I'm like, oh, all right, good point. I didn't think about that.
Well, right? Sometimes you don't want to hear what an expert has to say either. You know how many times you might ask somebody a question and it's not what you want to hear? You're like, I actually didn't really want to hear that. Like, yeah. I wanted to hear this. Yeah. But you still ask the question anyway.
Mm.
I don't know. People do that. I'm like, I didn't give you the answer that you wanted, but this is the best option for you.
Yeah.
All right. Question number three. How to grow muscle without lifting weight.
So lifting weights, aka resistance training, and Ash just spoke about this, you know, during her thing just a sec when she was giving some answers a second ago.
That's really loud.
Yeah.
It was not me.
It wasn't Eva?
No. It was another computer in the house.
Yeah. When Ash was talking about like you have to do something hard to get better at it. If you continue to do something easy, there's two ways that you can physically change your body: nutrition and exercise. What you do with nutrition will directly impact things like the weight, your scale weight, body fat, muscle mass to a degree with protein, health markers, etc. And then what you do with training will directly impact physically whether your body is better at cardio endurance, whether your body grows muscle, loses muscle, etc. There are two options. Here's the shit bit. You don't get to choose the outcome that you want and the method to get there. You can't choose both. You only get to choose one. Which do you want to choose? Do you want to choose the outcome or do you want to choose the method? What I mean by that is if the outcome you want is to gain muscle, you don't get to choose how you do that. You have to lift weight. You have to resistance train to build muscle. If you want to get better at cardio, you don't get to choose the method. You only get to choose the outcome. And it's the same the other way. If you want to choose the method, then you don't get to choose the outcome. Oh, I love HIIT training. Well, you've chosen the method. You don't get to pick the outcome.
Yeah.
You get to pick one or the other. And the reason I say that, like a lot of people get it with nutrition. I'll use McDonald's as an example, who's today's sponsor. Use Brad Tenn at checkout. If I said to you, all right, all you eat day in, day out from today moving forward is McDonald's, and you can eat as much of it as you want. You can eat however much McDonald's you want to eat, but that's the rule is you just only get to eat McDonald's. I would suspect that over time, and I'm sure you would suspect this as well, that possibly your health markers would decrease. And possibly your body fat would increase. I think that that's fair. And I think most people would be like, oh, I guess maybe you could try not to eat too much and maybe that way you wouldn't gain fat. Look, really, come on. Yeah, then you're going to get the apple pie and then you're going to eat the sundae and they're so calorie dense and they're so ultra processed and designed to make you hungry and make you eat more that eventually you more than likely will gain body fat, but you certainly due to the lack of nutrients in most of the menu, are more likely going to have poorer overall health markers. So when we look at all your health markers, you only get to choose one. You don't get to choose what you eat and the outcome. You got to pick one or the other. People get it when it comes to nutrition. They're like, you know what? You can probably make some arguments about, oh, what if you only ever had their salad? And what if the, yeah, all right. You know what I mean. You know what I mean. Most people think McDonald's, they think, all right, if you have too much of that, would you feed your kids only McDonald's? No. Why not? Exactly. Because you know that over time it's probably not got all the nutrients that they need. But when it comes to training, people, it doesn't seem to drop immediately the same when it comes to training. People are like, well, hang on. Well, can't I just run and gain the muscle?
What about my legs? Like, won't my legs grow
from doing that? So I get wanting to do one thing and getting a different outcome. And I saw, I think it was your comment in the 5-day. Someone asked a question and you were like, you got to choose your sacrifice. You can't sit on the couch and watch Netflix for 8 hours a day and be a high income earner. You know, again, I know that there's some people that maybe have worked out a way, but generally speaking,
you can't do nothing.
You can't do nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing in terms of income generation.
Yeah.
Other than just sit around, but also want to be, you know, earn seven figures. You got to pick one or the other. Are you going to aim for the seven figures or are you going to aim for Netflix and chill? And this is such a simple thing, but it gets missed all the time. Mm. So many chicks come through the 5-day challenge and have never lifted weights, or they don't realize they've never lifted weights. They're choosing the method and can't understand why they're not getting the outcome. For most chicks, I would say, who have asked this obviously wants to grow muscle, but most chicks don't realize they want muscle. Most chicks think they just want to lose weight, right?
Or they just ask to tone.
Or to tone, yeah. Which tone, I don't have an issue with that word.
Yeah.
One of my good friend's names is Tone, so no dramas there. But
Tones?
Tones and I.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're good mates.
Okay.
Wasn't Tones and I at the Pink thing?
Yeah, your favourite concert.
Yeah. I was not a fan of the Pink concert. So
everyone's eyebrows just raised.
Mine didn't. My Botox is still so strong, bro. I think because I wore a hat today and I got my hair cut and the barber's like, oh, my God, what's that dent in your head? I said, from a hat, bro. I think because I get Botox, I think it makes my head maybe squishier and the mark from the hat seems to hang around for longer. Uh-huh. You know, dent head. So really you don't get to choose both. You have to choose a sacrifice. Why are you not lifting weights? Why, you know, like if you're physically not able to, if for some reason you might find you don't necessarily have to be barbell squatting. There might be other variations of resistance training, which resistance training is just pushing the muscle with using external resistance. And that can mean a lot of things. It doesn't have to be just barbells or dumbbells. There's other variations there, you know, that you might be able to work with a specialist on. But for most people, lift weights, get dates.
Absolutely. It is scary to do. You don't want to give up your running. I get it. A lot of people forget that that's exactly who I was. That was the exact issues that I had. I didn't want to. I actually used to be like, why would you lift weights? The people that lift weights, they're not fit. I could outrun anyone that lift weights. Like, it's crazy when you're in that mindset, you kind of block everything out that's outside of your modality or your method of training. If you want to lose weight or if you want to lose body fat and you want to get stronger and you want to build muscle, then there's no other way to do that outside of lifting weights. Like the amount of people, we do the 5-day challenge and I lie it out. If you listen to every single day, I lie it out. There's no other way around
lie
it.
Or lay?
Lay it out, whatever. And I repeat myself several times, like almost like I feel like I'm a broken record sometimes. And I still get people saying, hang on a minute, but what about Pilates? Can I do Pilates and gain muscle? Like lifting weights, so even to the point where I actually say, you know, like if you sit there and picture, like visualize what you think Arnold Schwarzenegger is doing in the gym. And I know that's really scary because you're like, whoa, I don't want to be big and bulky like him. But it just gives you a good visual representation. What do you think he does when he gets to the gym? That's how you build muscle. Are you going to end up looking like him? 1,000% not.
I've been trying.
Brad's been trying for a very long time, on 20 years and still hasn't happened. So you'll be right. Also, another really good way is if you're like scared of getting bulky, like have you seen me lately? Like I'm like the opposite of bulky. So that's probably another – and I've been training for 10 years. So that's probably another really good more reassurance.
Mm. Yeah, that's all.
That's all.
Next question is, I can lose weight, but I can never keep it off. What am I doing wrong?
Biggest problem. If you
All these ones today are like,
Biggest problem. Go and interview 100 people on the street and ask them what their biggest issue with health and fitness is or weight loss. And one's going to be consistency, the other one.
Oh, what just happened? You
just turned me off.
Hang on. It glitched. Are you good now?
Yeah, I'm good now. The biggest issue with most people if you interview 100 out of 100 people is going to be consistency, number one. And number two, it's going to be you've ruined my mojo.
Sorry about that.
Brad's pushing buttons over here.
Blame the stupid. I told you we shouldn't get this new podcaster. I told you it was shit.
The other one is going to be
weight regain. I reckon if you interviewed 100 people, over 90 of them would have lost weight.
In the past, they would have 100% lost weight and they would have regained it.
Yep.
And do you know why?
I want to know why.
Because the method of their weight loss has not been sustainable. They have chosen a way to lose weight that they can't maintain. So they start an 8-week challenge or a 6-week shred or a, you know, whatever. They start this thing, they're motivated. They start this new diet. They cut everything out. They're training twice a day, 12 days a week. Right? You guys get the picture.
Still in my jokes now, bro.
I was like, I got to use this.
Yeah.
They're training their asses off. It lasts 6 weeks. They lose 16 kilos, right? And then they go back to what they used to do before because what they did to lose the weight was so hard. It was so unsustainable that they go back to doing what they were doing before because, I need a rest. It's been a lot the last 6 weeks. And then they gain all the weight back plus more. And that cycle, that yo-yo diet cycle, that binge restrict, that over-exercise, don't exercise cycle actually sees a person over the space of 5 or 10 years continually gaining weight. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're like, you come in and you listen to the 5-day challenge and you're like, yep, but I've lost the weight before. I just need to quickly lose it again. If you look at the history of your life and how many times you have lost the weight, just quickly lost it because you've got the wedding coming up. If we were to draw a line or on your weight graph and see what your weight's done over the last 10 years, it would have gradually, continually gone up because of that mindset, I just have to quickly lose it. You would be so far better off if you just stayed consistent and you even just maintained your weight, right? Let's say you didn't diet and you just maintained your weight. If we drew a line on your graph, on your weight graph, just doing that, you're going to be further ahead than if you had actually done the crash diet to quickly just lose the weight for the wedding in the first place. So,
totally agree.
The reason that the thing that you're doing wrong or the reason that you're...
Hang on. I'll call you back. We're just doing a podcast. See, bro, I didn't mean to answer that. I don't know how that happened. That was Bubbles, everyone.
He's so good.
It answered on my watch. I have an Apple Watch, and if you just slap your palm on the watch, it will silence if there's a call, if you've set a timer, an alarm. So when I go to the gym, I use my watch, and I'll have, say, like a 60-second rest break. It buzzes after 60 seconds. You just slap your watch. Like you're slapping the top of someone's hand and it turns the timer off. Same with calls. I saw it just ring and I just hit the top of it, but it must have actually answered it.
Oopsie.
Yeah.
Anyway, what are you doing wrong? why, you know, why that's what you're doing wrong. You're choosing an unsustainable method.
I ruined your whole flow more than once during that, didn't I?
Yeah, this is the Brad Lane show today.
Sorry, mate.
Nothing will be clippable out of today's podcast.
Look, this is probably one of the biggest issues people have. Hey, I'm going to blow some brains here. Weight loss is easy.
Oh, so easy.
It's so simple. Keeping it off is the hard part. Nearly everyone that comes into our group has lost weight.
Yeah.
Nearly everyone has never been able to keep it off. If you are not in Train with Ash and you're not at your goal weight, that's you. If you do not have your ideal physique, I don't mean Train with Ash because you might be on your journey to your ideal physique. So you're good, G. You're good, chat. Chat's good. But anyone outside of Train with Ash, if you're not at your goal physique, why not? I can tell you why not, because you've probably lost weight, regained it, lost weight, regained it. Most people don't gain 10 kilos, 20 kilos in a year. They slowly gain 2, 3 kilos, 4 kilos year in, year out, doing I'll just super lose it real quick and then I'll come back and do it the right way. It's all about sustainability. What we're doing at the moment is not drinking during March. Is it March or April? It's March.
Is it sustainable?
I have taken it up one more notch and I've eliminated nearly all processed foods, nearly all. Now, I'm just doing that for my gut health. I do have a history of gut health issues and that does also lead to some mental health issues for me individually. So I took this as an opportunity. My diet is just like a runaway train, bro. Like I start and I eat completely clean and that's when I feel my best and perform my best. Then I go, I'll just have one chicken nugget or cornetto and then I feel fine, nothing happened, and then this is all subconscious, and then I have more and more till eventually I'm like, I feel like shit, I don't even know why, and I'm like, oh, I know why, I just ate a box of cornettos, and then I have to go, all right, dickhead, wind it back, let's get back to, you know, a better ratio of whole foods versus soul foods. During this month I'm trying to eat 100% whole foods. I haven't been 100% there, but it's been super close. It's been high. What do you reckon?
Oh, look.
That wasn't a confident
old look. No. I'm trying to not make you sound like, because you're not, the person that just quickly wants to lose the weight for a month and then gets back to your normal way of eating. You have been so different with the choices of food that you've made. You typically would go and get a Tim Tam or whatever after lunch, which is I do, and I haven't stopped. A mint slice actually has been the thing, or actually I got chocolate hot crust buns. They're delicious.
But the point I was making was kind of to make me sound like that person anyway, because this is the point. I am fine sticking with it for March because I know it's only March.
Yeah.
I'll be okay. I've actually enjoyed not drinking. I do feel a little bit better. I've enjoyed not eating, 50% whole, 50% soul foods, because that's what it ends up at. Half of my diet ends up processed, you know, soul foods. And that, you know, for me individually, makes me feel like shit. I am okay not doing it for a month. I have the willpower to do it for a month. However, if I had to maintain that forever to be able to keep like a fat loss result or a weight loss result, I wouldn't be able to do it. I would give up. I'll be like, you fucking kidding me? I can't ever have a mint slice again, or I can't ever have a beer again, or I can't ever have this or that. I would get to a point where my willpower would run out and I'd be like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I've had it up to here with this. And so I would probably binge. I would go, all right, now I'm having all of the snacks and all the stuff. I would gain the weight back. I would feel terrible about myself. You never feel good. You're not like – when you're restricting, you feel shit because you're hungry and you're craving good food, soul foods. When you're binging, you feel like shit because you feel a bit disappointed in yourself. You know, you're sitting there with cheesels all in your hair and there's chocolate on the sofa and so everyone wants to know how did chocolate get on the sofa, and you're trying to rub it off. And you're like, oh, then you finally get to a point like, nah, I've had enough. I'm motivated. I'm going to restrict again. Back to restrict. There's never a time where you feel good. There's never a time where you're like, yes, this is the best, I'm balanced, I'm happy, I'm enjoying how my body's changing. So it's like it's nearly all negative. It's nearly all a sad time. It's nearly all sad heart. Whereas yeah. when you're doing the pro, if you choose to do the process properly, and in a, if it took you 20 years to gain this weight, expecting to lose it in 8 weeks is unrealistic. I think any person could see, yeah, all right, fair enough. You are right. I have gained a couple of kilos a year over 10 years. Yeah, there were times that I weighed less, but overall it does trend up over. Do you really think you could lose this in 45 days? Realistically, no, probably not. What happens when you stop? All that happens is the method that you choose is not something you can stick to forever. And if I tell you it's a 45-year challenge, you'll tell me to get fucked. But the reality is it's a 45-year challenge. That is what it is. So pick something. Don't pick you don't pick your husband or wife and go, yeah, I could stick to this for 45 days.
That's so true.
You pick someone that you feel
that's
like.
What I thought.
At the well,
that's I didn't what I was signing up for 45 days.
I lost 45 minutes. You pick someone that at that time in your life you feel like, yes, I can see myself spending the rest of my life with this person. Now, in that situation, people change over time, right? So it's a bit different. However, choose something that you feel like you could stick to long term. It doesn't mean you have to do it long term. If you reverse diet, fat loss, and then you get to a space of maintenance, I don't track calories most of the year anymore.
Yeah.
I don't have to measure myself monthly. I don't have to do it because I spent so long doing the things. I now it's nearly on autopilot. But I had to do the work first to get here. No one would buy a 45-year challenge. It's just not sexy. They will buy a 45-day or a 6-week or an 8-week or a 12-week or something like that. Pick something like a, you know, can you see yourself doing this for a year? If I said to you, no alcohol, no processed foods for a year, you have a lot of willpower, but I'd be like, oh, my God, what do I get out of this? This
want to be good.
It better be good. Yeah. It better be really good. For me individually, it's not worth it. I don't, you know, if I had 10 kilos, 20 kilos to lose, maybe, you know, but that's not a year. That's probably two, you know, like it's a nightmare. So choose something. And here's the part I don't get. Ash explains in the 5-day challenge how you can have your cake and eat it. You can have whole foods plus soul foods. You don't have to restrict. You can include everything. You're going to have to train 3 times a week. You go through periods where you can like sync up your holidays or your Easters or your wedding, whatever, during the bit where you're eating more, and then you can align the bit where you're eating less if you want to look leaner in Bali or over Christmas or whatever. You get some control over how you look and how you feel at different times of the year, all while trending the weight down. Instead of slowly trending it up. If I said to someone, and you made the point, if I said to someone, oh, would you just like to maintain your weight for the next 10 years? Most people are like, no, that doesn't seem like progress. For most people, that's progress because yeah. most people actually gain a little bit year after year. So being able to maintain it is actually progress for the majority of people. So
totally agree.
Choose a method like train with Ash. There's other options if you happen to really dislike Ash that, you know, to be honest, I don't even fucking know anyone else that does reverse dieting on a scale like ours. To be honest, that uses a method like ours that has the success rates of ours. I honestly don't even know anyone else. Chicks used to reach out to me. So TWA chicks would be like, hey, Brad, my husband wants to do this. Do you know anyone? Because I didn't used to have an option. Do you know anyone? And I'd be like, honestly, I don't mean to sound like a dick, but no. Everyone just has, you know, like
A shred
option. You know, you might hunt around and find a build, but most people are after fat loss, really. Yeah, all right. If you've spent a while getting to your physique, then you might want to build from there. Most people start with a fat loss goal, and most of it's just short term. However many weeks your thing is that's how long you get to keep it for. There you go. Put that into your brain. If it's a 45-day challenge, you get to keep your results for 45 days. If it's an 8-week challenge, you get to keep your results for 8 weeks. If you do a 45-year challenge, you get to keep your results for another 45 years. So there you go. That's how you can choose and work out whether it's short-term or long-term.
So good. Question number 5, what's your current sup stack?
This is an awesome question. I nearly didn't put this in because I felt like we had spoken about this, but then I thought about it. I thought, you know what? What better time to talk about our new sponsor?
Who's our new sponsor?
No, not really. I don't use – okay, so Ash and I – I'll let Ash talk for her. So I go on and off creatine. This is how it works for me. I would recommend everyone take creatine. If you haven't listened to our creatine podcast with who I consider the world's leading expert in creatine, he's not the person that reads the papers or the research studies. He's the one that writes them. He's the one in the lab with his test tube and his little dropper, dropping dots, drops of water into test tubes and then telling you what happened, right?
He's the researcher.
He's the dude in the white coat that's doing this shit, right? So he came on our podcast and he told us everything creatine. If you haven't listened to it, listen to it. I recommend creatine for everyone on the planet. It has so many benefits, not just if you want to get jacked and tanned. It has other benefits outside of that as well. Do I take creatine? Yes, when I have it. Do I have creatine right now? No. All of our stuff was in our caravan. We packed it all up and put it in our storage shed. So we don't have protein water. We don't have creatine. And the only reason we have protein powder is because we bought the one from Coles Perform. So, however, generally I take creatine until the tub runs out. Then I order another one. So there might be a gap between it, but I would recommend creatine to everyone. That's the only – I don't know if – I'll let you choose whether you consider this supplement in that same supplement category, but protein.
Yeah.
I'll sometimes supplement protein on days I don't get enough through my diet. I don't have to do it often because I naturally, after eating a certain way for a while, I naturally just find that I eat protein and plants at most meals. Even when I eat junk, I still usually get protein and plants at breakfast, lunch and dinner, and I naturally hit 150 grams of protein most days, which for me, I'm 75 kilos. That's more than enough protein to maintain my current muscle mass and probably even build muscle mass as well. However, there are days that I use protein water, protein powder, and sometimes I have protein bars. You know, if we're going to be out all day and you don't know what a lunch might be, a sandwich or something that you can't guarantee there's going to be much protein in, or you're at a wedding or whatever, then, you know, I'll use protein. I'll supplement that if I don't get enough. They're the only two things I currently take. Now, something I should mention before I pass over to our better-looking host is that I've tried every supplement ever made. If there is a supplement that's been made, I've tried it. There is there's a supplement at our PO box that got delivered today that I'm trying. I still try these things because marketing was made for me. If you're a marketing expert, so if you pitch your big marketing company, they've got a photo of me in there. They're like, this is our target market because this dick will buy anything if we market it to him properly. So the newest thing I've got that I want to try and see how I feel, I can say who it is, yeah?
Yeah.
It's called LMNT, so the letters L, letter M, letter N, letter T. I think it's meant to be like element, maybe, is what they're kind of LMNT, element?
Yeah.
I think. And it's just like salt and a heap of other things that you're meant to have first thing in the morning. So
To rehydrate
after a night's sleep. Salt is something that's been demonized, however, I think unfairly so. And I think that if more people looked into salt, not everybody, but lots of people could do with more salt in their life. I just keep getting advertised this fucking LMNT. Everywhere I look, I see it. And I'm like, all right, fine. I'll try. I think I bought a 30-day pack, so 30 little sachets. By the time Ash steals some, by the time my mum has a few, and Dina, I might have 5 or 6 sachets of this shit. And I'll let you know if I feel any different. If I feel different, I might take it until I've run out. If I don't feel different, then I won't. But so far, I've tried all the supplements, and so far, none of them have made me feel any different. So the only ones that I stick with, that creatine's the only one that I recommend for me and for everyone, and then protein for anyone that can't get enough during their normal diet.
Do you know why supplements don't make you feel any different?
Why?
Because they're a supplement. They're supposed to supplement your day-to-day life. No supplement out there is going to be life-changing.
Oh.
There's no amount of happy juice or freaking LMNT salty treat morning things that's going to make you feel any different. A supplement is a supplement. It is there to replace things that in your body you are lacking and that you need supplementation for. Our current supplement stack is creatine and protein powder because protein powder is something that sometimes we need to supplement because we're not getting enough of it through our food, like if we're out on the run. And creatine, if you listen to Dr. Creatine on our podcast.
That's his name now.
You'll be able to hear in depth the like the different parts of how it can support and supplement your like already diet, right? So I think that's important to mention. It's so trendy when you look on Instagram. Bro, like what's trendiest. Oh, this is my Substack. And I'm like, at the end of the day, so many people are looking for the magic pill. I remember when I was doing a little bit of assistant, like EA kind of work, and it was for a health coach many, many years ago. And she used to say what, like she was teaching health coaches and fitness coaches how to obviously market to their ideal client. And she's like, if your ideal client could buy a magic pill, what would it be? And so many people nail this in the industry because people want a magic pill. Nobody wants to do the work. Nobody wants to go to the gym. Nobody wants to eat right. Everyone just wants to take the supplement, and the supplement's going to be life-changing. You heard it here first. Supplements aren't life-changing. It's not going to completely turn your life upside down or in a good way and change how you feel. If you're like Brad, Brad literally will buy anything. So make sure you've got him on your email list, because if you're good at marketing, he will buy it even if he doesn't need it. But the way that I look at it is, yeah, I think you don't need anything unless you do. I have MS and I need to have a super serum every 6 months to make sure that my MS doesn't get any worse. That's the supplement that I need, right? So I think unless there is something that you need, maybe you're iron deficient, who knows?
Chicks
maybe
do have.
It's really common.
It's iron common deficiency. For chicks to be deficient with iron.
If you're really terrible at meeting your protein target, it's so important to make sure that you're getting enough protein. Once again, go and interview 100 people on the street. I can guarantee you that majority of the people that you speak to, they're not eating enough protein naturally in their diet. Like it's just, it's a common problem. So check out what you need supplementation in. If you do, then use a supplement to, you know, bridge the gap. If you don't, then don't.
I would get a blood test.
Yeah, that's actually a really good idea.
Yeah, if you don't feel 100%, if there's something going on, you know, and you're like, oh, I just don't. Most people overlook the basics. Most people not getting enough nutrients. Most people not getting enough sleep. Most people overtraining or like overstimulated, you know. There's no magic supplements out there that'll fix all that shit.
None.
You can get it all in a whole food diet. But if you've got something to sell, just let me know, bro. I'll buy that shit.
That'll buy it.
These companies, don't forget, that sell this shit. They even got me. I've seen LMNT that many times, and it took probably over a year for me to get it. You can get a case? We don't normally leave till 2:40. Okay. It took me like over a year to buy this stuff. But they have got marketing experts that use human behavior, human behavioral psychology to work out how to get you to buy. One of the reasons I know that is I did do copywriting as like one of my things that I did. And one of the ways that they teach you how to copyright for sales is to use behavioral psychology. What motivates people to buy? Pain points, you know, magic, all this stuff. And I'm a monkey with a pen. And it made sense to me. So people that actually spend their lives becoming marketing experts, writing scripts, you know, firing their needle into a pain point, you know, if anyone's seen The Wolf of Wall Street, you know, remember there? I don't know if you haven't seen it. It's an awesome movie. That's all they did. They just had these amazing scripts that they were able to duplicate. And then they just get influencers to push this product, which is what happened to me. I saw yet another influencer that I like and respect, and I'm like, you know what, finally I'm going to try this stuff and see what I already know what the outcome's going to be. I know what it will be.
You just want to try it.
I just want to try it. I don't expect to feel any different.
Yeah.
I don't expect realistically, I don't feel that bad as it is. I just hear a lot of talk about needing more salt in the morning or whatever. I'm like, I'll try this and see if that makes any difference. I don't expect it to. Actually, you know what I have done? I have put salt in water, stirred it up and drank it as well. Yeah. Why are you licking your lips? But, you know, so, yeah.
All right.
That's all you need.
That's it.
And listen to the creatine one because we all get creatine through our diet, naturally. However, not many of us achieve full saturation. It's quite difficult to get enough creatine in your diet to get a full creatine tank. And the more creatine that you have in your tank, there's lots and lots of benefits that, and that's why Dr. Creatine suggests that you can get benefits from supplementing.
Oh, good.
Anything else, darling?
No, that's it, guys.
Thank you for listening. If you don't follow Ash, follow Ash at Ash_Lane. If you don't follow me at Train with Brad. Thank you, chat.
Thanks, blood.
Love you, blood.
Love you, guys.
We'll see you on the next one.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.